are filled with several chemicals and particles that can have any asthmatic reaching for their rescue inhaler. The simple solution is to not burn wood for heat. Instead, opt for an electric space heater. Cigarette smoke. Enough said. If you have asthma, don't smoke. If someone lives in your home that smokes, they really need to quit. Or, at the very least, smoke far, far away from the home. Like every other preventable disease or illness, quitting smoking and staying away from those who do smoke should be high on every asthmatic's list of situations to avoid. Even with careful planning, adhering to prescribed therapies, and meticulously avoiding known triggers, flare-ups can and will occur. Asthma attacks can be very scary, and when immediate relief cannot be reached, medical help may be necessary. In the event an attack goes unresolved, one should seek medical attention when one or more of the following occur. Severe breathlessness or wheezing occurs, especially at night or in the morning. Low peak flow reading when you use a peak flow meter. Straining and having to use accessory muscles, such as your chest and abdomen, to breathe. Not being able to speak without getting winded or short of breath. Your instincts tell you something is wrong. Stick to your plans, know your limitations, adhere to your medication regimens, and certainly avoid known triggers. Doing so will help you tolerate winter by being able to breathe a bit easier. Master Gardeners. Popular perennial shrub adds splash of color to your garden. By Debbie Rowland, Master Gardener. Esperanza, Tecoma stans, is another great plant from the Permian Basin Master Gardener's recommended plant list. It is grown as a perennial in West Texas and is also referred to as yellow bell, yellow trumpet, or trumpet flower. Esperanza is an ornamental shrub that boasts yellow or orange blooms and a light scent. In our area, it is usually planted by transplant and not seed, which are available at local nurseries. The trumpet-shaped flowers appear in the spring and remain until fall. Esperanza is a shrub that can grow to 6 feet tall and 4 feet in diameter, so allow it plenty of room to grow. Plant in full sun after threat of freeze has passed. If planting more than one Esperanza, allow 4 feet between plants. Dig a hole 2 to 3 times the size of the root ball, but just deep enough to hold the plant level with the ground. Since you need to add 3 inches of compost, be sure to add that to the depth of the hole you will need. After the compost is added to the bottom of the hole, gently remove the plant from the container and place on top of the compost. Use the native soil to backfill the plant and tamp down firmly. You will need to water regularly until the plant is established. Water deeply to keep it moist but not wet. When established, gradually cut down on the watering. Mature plants should be watered weekly. As always, mulch to prevent evaporation during summer months. Deadheading during summer and fall makes the flowering more prolific. After the plant is dormant in the winter, cut each stem back to about 12 inches. The plant will come back in the spring. For more information, call the AgriLife office at 498-4071 in Odessa or at 686-4700 in Midland or visit aggie-horticulture.tamu.edu or westtexasgardening.org. Gardening. Texas Master Gardeners. We are an educational service organization of volunteers trained by Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Service. Visit westtexasgardening.org. Join the 2021 Master Gardener Trainee Class by Jeanette Castagnone. Now that the new year is upon us, it is a great time to investigate new hobbies. If you or a loved one are curious about becoming more involved with your community and get hands-on education about gardening, look no further than the Master Gardeners Association. Classes start soon. The Master Gardeners work through Texas A&M AgriLife Extension to help with the mission of providing research-based information to the public. After screening, which includes a background check, trainees are accepted into the program. To become a certified Master Gardener volunteer, you must attend the series of classes that will begin at 9 a.m. January 28th. 10 of the classes will be taught by Texas A&M specialists and will be available online Thursday mornings. 7 of the courses will be taught in person Saturday mornings, beginning on April 24th and ending on June 5th. The cost is $200 and includes the Master Gardener Handbook, T-shirt, name badge, and basic instruction in horticulture. Trainees must attend the core training classes and volunteer for at least 60 hours to become certified. Once certified, Master Gardeners need only attend 12 hours of instruction and give 30 hours of volunteer time annually in the Permian Basin. Topics include tree biology, soil and plant nutrients, botany, landscape design, composting, rainwater harvesting, and more. An orientation will be held online from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. January 23rd via Microsoft Teams. To access the application, visit www.westtexasgardening.org. Applications are due to me by January 15th. For more information, call the AgriLife office at 498-4071 in Odessa or at 686-4700 in Midland. Email Jeanette.Castagnone, that's J-E-A-N-E-T-T-E, .C-A-S-T-A-N-O-N, at ag.tamu.edu or visit aggie-horticulture.tamu.edu or westtexasgardening.org. Castagnone is a horticulturist with Texas AgriLife Extension Service. She can be reached at 686-4700 or by email at jeanette.castagnone at ag.tamu.edu. Pets of the Week. Zara, a 2-year-old female Great Dane mix, needs to be adopted into a good home. Maggie, a 1-year-old female cat, needs to be adopted into a good home. Zara is black and white, and so is Maggie. To adopt Zara or Maggie or any of the other pets at the Humane Society of Odessa, stop by 7012 Mockingbird Lane, call 381-5503, visit www.odessahumanesociety.org, or leave a message at facebook.com/Humane Society of Odessa/. The Humane Society of Odessa is a no-kill pet adoption shelter, and all their pets require spay-neuter contract, along with an adoption application. Adoption fees for pets start at $50. Photos courtesy of Odessa Humane Society.
This is Connie reading the Odessa American for Wednesday, January 6, 2021. Diets for a New Year Explained by Brenda Garcia, MS, RD, United Supermarkets Lifestyle Desk. What is the difference between the ketogenic, paleo, and plant-based diets? Well, they all provide three different approaches to eating and health. Each method of eating focuses on emphasizing or eliminating various food groups in order to reach a desired goal. For most people, that goal is weight loss, but these diets impact so much more than just the number on your scale. The ketogenic diet, or keto diet for short, focuses on decreasing carbohydrates, carb intake, while increasing fat intake and maintaining moderate protein intake. By consuming low levels of carbs, your body enters a state of ketosis where your body uses its own fat for fuel. This diet, in theory, allows for quick weight loss. However, it is not recommended to continue this diet for long periods of time, longer than 3 to 6 months, due to ketone bodies produced during the ketosis state, which can lead to prolonged health risks. The paleo diet focuses on eating whole foods while eliminating processed foods that contain refined sugar, grains, trans fats, salt, or other added chemicals. Fresh fruits and vegetables are consumed in excess, whereas grains and processed foods are limited or eliminated completely. This diet provides many health benefits, such as normalization of blood glucose and insulin production. However, can be difficult to follow long term due to the diet being so limited and restrictive. The plant-based diet focuses on consuming vegetables, fruits, whole grains, nuts, and seeds, and beans and lentils. Foods that are excluded or limited, depending on how you define plant-based, include dairy, meat, and poultry, and processed meats. This method focuses on increasing intake of fruits and vegetables while decreasing intake of grains and meat. Fruits and vegetables contain less calories, sodium, sugar, and fat than processed foods. They are more nutrient dense and are full of vitamins and minerals. There are many health benefits and few downsides for this method of eating. What does this mean for you? Well, each diet is unique, just like our bodies. The right diet and overall lifestyle for you may be different than for your friend or coworker. It is important to listen to your body and fuel it with foods and allow you to perform at your best. For now, here is a recipe that can be tailored to fit your needs. Plus, don't forget to follow along on www.happyandnourished.com for lots more recipes. Right now, you can even download a cookbook with recipes to fit all of these plans. Breakfast grilled cheese. Ingredients: a third cup whipped cream cheese or non-dairy cream cheese, softened. A fourth cup cottage cheese. Canned omid for paleo plant-based and instead double non-dairy cream cheese. 4 waffles of your choice, such as Birch Benders Keto frozen waffles or Kashi 7 grain frozen waffles. 1/2 cup fresh raspberries. 1 tablespoon butter or coconut oil. Cinnamon for topping. Instructions: mix the cream cheese and cottage cheese in a bowl. 2. On 2 of the waffles, spread the cream cheese mixture and top with berries. Cover with remaining waffles. 3. Melt the butter or oil in a large skillet over medium-high heat. 4. Place the sandwiches in the hot skillet and cook until golden brown, about 3 to 4 minutes per side. Remove sandwiches. 5. Sprinkle sandwiches with a dash of cinnamon. Let sit 1 minute, then serve.
Hello, this is Michael reading a non-local article published in the Life and Times section from the Odessa American, Sunday, January 10th. The Not-So-Secret Life of Pandemic Pets, The Associated Press, Cincinnati. Olivia Hennerfield's dog, Lincoln, and Kate Hilt's cat, Potato, have something in common. They both like to interrupt Zoom calls as their owners work from home. Sometimes it's better to preemptively put him on your lap so he can fall asleep, says Hiltz, a digital consultant in the Washington, D.C. area. Jealous of the attention that Hennerfield is paying to her video conference call, Lincoln, a golden retriever, will fetch the most disgusting tennis ball he can find from his toy crate to drop into the lap of the Georgetown University Law School student. For many dogs, this is life as it was meant to be. Humans around 24/7, walks and treats on demand, sneaking onto beds at night without resistance. Cats, many of whom, let's be honest, were already socially distancing before humans knew what that was, are more affectionate than ever, some now even acting hungry for attention. 10 months into quarantines and working from home because of the pandemic, household pets' lives and relationships with humans have in many cases changed, and not always for the better. With this month's U.S. rollout of vaccinations offering hope for normalcy in 2021, long-term impacts aren't known. If we think how much time most of our pets, prior to the pandemic, typically would spend without people, being around us now 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, it's quite a lot. Candace Crony, a Purdue University professor who teaches about animal behavior, says. While estimates vary on how many pets there are in the United States, there's general agreement that the majority of U.S. households have at least one pet, with dogs and then cats, far outnumbering other pets, such as birds and fish. There also was a surge in pet adoptions this year as stay-at-home restrictions took effect. For all those tens of millions of dogs and cats, it's been an opportunity to teach humans a thing or two about themselves. Crony has enjoyed watching how her long hair cat Bernie and Havanese mixed dog Des play together. She finds herself getting bookended by the pair in bed at night. I've been learning things that I probably had been missing about how these two interact with each other and have found out that I need to take my cues from them, Crony says, which is funny because I do this for a living, and this is the kind of thing we tell other people to do, and clearly I was missing some of it myself. In the Washington area, Emily Benavidez, a U.S. Senate staffer, is learning her cat's language. Humito, Spanish for Smokey, the 3-year-old rescue cat she has had for much of his life, has different sounding meows to communicate that he wants to eat, wants to nap, or has knocked his toy under the refrigerator. I think the more time you spend with them, the more you can see them eye to eye, she says. The pandemic has brought us closer together. Devika Ranjan, a theater director in Chicago, wanted pandemic company and got a rescue cat she named Alu during the summer. The formerly feral cat is believed to be around 3 and seems to be very comfortable with a slow-paced, high-attention pandemic life. My working from home, I think he loves it, she says. I think he is just ready to settle down in life. If he were human, he'd probably sit on the couch with a PBR and watch TV all day. The pandemic hasn't been positive for all pets, though, such as those with owners who are struggling financially. Veterinarians and owners report some pets being medicated for anxiety, and others are being put on diets because of too many treats and not enough exercise in parks that humans may be avoiding because of virus concerns. Hiltz says her cat, a rescue who joined their household in March 2019, always seemed to enjoy attention from strangers, but now hides from visitors. Kirsten Hedges, an herbalist in Decatur, Georgia, says her dog Bitsy, also a rescue, misses the attention from other humans on their walks. He got really bummed out because no one would talk to him or pet him, she says. People would walk 6 feet around us, and I think he took it personally. Bitsy, a Yorkie, is 14 and has been with her 6 years after a life as a breeder in a puppy mill. He is blind in one eye and suffers periodic infections and incontinence. Trips to the veterinarian have been really scary because of the masks and reduced contacts, Hedges says. However, Hedges and other pet owners say they have become more than companions in recent months. They provide emotional support to their humans. Humito appears to sense when she is feeling stressed and will take the initiative to cuddle into her lap, says Benavidez, spokesperson for Republican U.S. Senator Rob Portman of Ohio. It's a relationship built on mutual care and comfort, Benavidez says. As humans begin to return to work and vaccines roll out, the next year likely will bring a test of those relationships and new habits, says Ron John of ALU. I hope he will take it in stride. Crony, the animal behavior professor with some 2 decades of experience, says she worries what will happen when she returns to work, and not only to her pets. I'm starting to worry a little bit for me, she admits. I'm becoming a little codependent of my animals. And now I'm going to read you Hints from Heloise, published in the San Angelo Standard-Times, Monday, January 11th. Dear readers, today's Sound Off is a warning about charity scams. Dear Heloise, in this colder weather, many charities will be asking for donations to help the homeless and the needy. Many are reputable agencies whose only goal is to help others. However, it's also time when some scam artists try to make their bogus phone calls and emails sound legitimate, but they're really out to help only themselves. Don't let them pressure you to give right now. It's a warning sign that they are scammers. If they request payment in cash, gift card, or wire transfer, it's another sign of a scammer. Before you hand over a dime, check them out at charitynavigator.org or charitywatch.org. But whatever you do, do not hand out any personal or financial information. Don't assume requests for help on social media or crowdfunding sites are legitimate. Do your research before you hand over your hard-earned money. Paul B., Chicago. Dear readers, here are uses for old but still useful pillowcases. Cut a hole in the center of the bottom and use to slip over clothes to protect them. Place over tender plants to protect them from the cold. Use in place of plastic bags for shopping. Cover decorative pillows that are being stored for next season. Slip over a ceiling fan blade, and when you pull it off, use enough pressure from your hands to remove dust. Heloise. Dear Heloise, I very much enjoy your column. As an outdoors man, I would like to submit the following hint. Clean out a thumb-release prescription medicine container, because they are great for storing fish hooks, sinkers, and for holding peanuts, mixed nuts, and candies to take on outdoor adventures. Mike S., Lauto, Indiana. Dear Heloise, you may have boxes of unsweetened cereal with less than a bowl left to eat. One good way to use the remainder is to sprinkle it into a bowl of hot soup. It's a delicious, crunchy way to use the remaining cereal. It peps up the soup. MD, Colorado Springs, Colorado.
Thank you for joining us for this week's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American Sunday Lifestyle sections. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.
Next on Recording Library of West Texas Radio, Far West Texas News, followed by the Midland Reporter Telegram and Odessa American at 8.
This is a recording library of West Texas Community Update.
Sherwood Church of Christ, 4900 North Dixie Boulevard, offers free clothing on the first Saturday of every month. With so many families in the community are losing their jobs due to COVID and the downturn in oil, the Sherwood Clothes Closet is an opportunity for people to find needed clothing items for the entire family. Hours are 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m.
The Permian Basin is currently experiencing an unprecedented slowdown because of lower demand and an escalation in foreign production of oil. To keep current, we bring you the weekly Business and Oil Report. Each week, Recording Library volunteers and staff read the Midland Reporter Telegram and Odessa American Business and Oil pages. Friday mornings at 6 and repeated Sunday nights at 7 and Thursdays at 4 a.m. on Recording Library of West Texas Radio. Read by listening.
Now here's your forecast for the Midland-Odessa area. It's 30 and clear. Tonight, clear with a low in the upper 30s. Then tomorrow, clear with a high in the upper 50s. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with a low in the low 40s. From the Recording Library of West Texas 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm Maria Lopez.
This is the Recording Library of West Texas. It's 7 a.m.
Welcome to this week's edition of Far West Texas. Readings from the Big Bend Sentinel, the Monahans News, and the Fort Stockton Pioneer, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, this is Michael reading the Big Bend Sentinel that was published January 13, 2021. Crime. Texas District 23 Rep barricaded the House chamber as mob chaos reigned at Capitol. By Stephen Paulson. Published January 13th. Washington. As the Big Bend Sentinel went to press last Wednesday, a mob descended on the U.S. Capitol building. Inside was Tony Gonzalez, the newly elected Republican representative for Texas District 23. The mob entered the building, smashing windows. Capitol Police drew their weapons as rioters tried to break into the House chambers. Gonzalez sprang to action, helping barricade the doors. "It was very much a fight or flight thing," he said in an interview with the Big Bend Sentinel last week. A veteran, Gonzalez served in both Iraq and Afghanistan. He recalled in wartime the atmosphere sometimes felt strange before an enemy attack. Gonzalez is new to D.C.,